ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So today we will read the verse number 12. Natse vaham jatu nasam. Natsvam ne me janadhipaha. Natseva navavishyamaha. Sarve vayamataparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. In our last meeting, we were discussing about Karpanya Dosha Bhata Swabhava. How many of you were present in the last meeting? Who are all present? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. Oh, very good, good number. So, today we are running short of time to revise the session, last three sessions. But we are discussing about what is the main theme last time? Who can say? Vaishalya weakness, exactly. The weakness that causes pain to our heart, due to which a person is not able to live a peaceful life. So, yes, that was the beginning I made. What else to discuss last time? Brahmana and Akarpana. A miserly person who does not utilize the human form of life for God consciousness, but always is suffering. And a Brahmana is one who understands life after this. Yeah. And then, yeah? Story of? Nachiketa, exactly. How Nachiketa is intelligent.
Can we discuss four causes?
Yeah. Four problems, birth, old age, disease and death, sir. Then importance of Guru, yeah. And about Guru, we did the two things we discussed. What we discussed? Nobody can. No. Who Guru is not and?
Guru is not here at all.
Yeah, who Guru is. First we discussed who Guru is not and who Guru is. Then we discussed various qualifications of Guru. Various qualifications that a Guru has to have. So, based on all that, it is very easy for us to understand who deserves to be called as a Guru or a spiritual master. Otherwise, we are running here and there all over the world, and many people take shelter of so many men who claim to be Gurus. One thing comes to my mind, in Srimad Bhagavatam there is an example. There are many people who take shelter of fake Godmen. Fake Godmen means who pose themselves as Godmen, but who are actually not man of God. Those who are fake. So Srimad Bhagavatam says such people either swindle the money or they cheat them due to the lack of integrity or they may ruin the life of a person. So such people are considered to be like shallow rivers into which a person jumps due to heat of the sun. When the sun is very hot, you think, let me take shelter of the river, let me stay. So when you jump with your head down, what will happen? You'll only break your head, isn't it? So taking shelter of such a fake Godman is like that. Many people sometimes, like several years they are in touch with some fake Godman, and then at one point of time they realize that he is a fake. It becomes very painful to give up the company to the person. So we should never become cheated like that. So, just like before you get married, now husband and like a man gets married to a woman, it's not an easy joke that overnight decisions are made. To look a girl for a boy or a boy for a girl, sometimes it takes even 1 or 2 years. So choosing Guru is even more serious than choosing a spouse. We should remember this. That's why we had a very elaborate lesson last time. So, we should not be sentimental in accepting a Guru, just because traditionally somebody has been accepted as a Guru. So we have to look for his qualifications in a Guru. Then can I accept somebody as a Guru? So today we are discussing further, next verse. In between, there is one verse which is not given here, between 7 and 12, where the Lord begins to speak. In the past 3-4 classes we were discussing how Arjuna is in a very, very great tragedy, in a very great predicament. And he seeks the help of Krishna. Right from the beginning they saw that Arjuna said, I won't fight due to these 5 reasons. And then Lord just kept mum. He didn't speak a single word. And Arjuna saw that although I gave so many reasons, still I am not peaceful, even after giving all the reasons. Why I will not fight? Then he surrendered to Krishna. He said, Shishyaste aham shadimam svaham prapannam. I am your shishya, disciple. So, let us not talk in friendly terms. Let us talk like a guru and a disciple. Now let's have a serious talk, Krishna. Now you tell something to me that will mitigate my sufferings. You tell me what I should do. And then it is said, Prahasanniva Bharata. And Krishna begins to smile, saying that Arjuna is now surrendering and ready to accept his good instructions. And then Krishna begins to speak, where Vyasadeva writes, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, like that it begins. So, that is the first time Krishna begins to speak in Bhagavad Gita, Shri Bhagavan Vacha. So today we will try to understand about God. Who is God? Generally, if you go to any average Indian and ask him about God, many people have a notion that God is something like an impersonal light, like a jyoti, Brahma jyoti, as they often call it. It has no form, it has no qualities or attributes. And ultimately, all the different forms of God, you see, they all come from that Brahma jyoti. People think like that. And then ultimately everything merges into that Brahma jyoti. And then after death also people think that I will also become that God and merge into God. This is a common knowledge many people have like this. This kind of knowledge is quite famous in many parts of the world because you can accommodate any religion and any philosophy into this. You can say you can worship any God you want. You can worship anybody you want, even a man as God. So, Nirakarva, people who worship Nirakar, or Nirvishesh, as we call it. So, this philosophy is very common. Now, all of us as human beings, how many of you would be interested that you work very hard for achieving some bright light in the sky? How many of you think you will work very hard, you will endeavor lifelong to achieve something that is a light in the sky, you will go and merge into that and you won't have any activity? Nobody would be interested. Everybody is interested in doing some activity, in exchanging relationships with others. This is the reason why people are not interested in spiritual life. People don't want to go to God because they think, what is the use of leaving this world and going to another place where just merge in some light? So we have to know what is the absolute truth. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a nice verse to explain the absolute truth. Please always repeat after me. Bhajan
tat-tatva-vidat.
Tatvam yajnanam advayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti.
Brahmeti paramatmeti.
Bhagavaniti shajyate. So this verse is very simple. Vadanti means the great series of truth have understood. Tat-tatva-vidat. That supreme absolute truth. Tatvam yajnanam advayam. So it is giving you the actual wisdom. That absolute truth exists in 3 levels. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdyate. That is Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So Brahman is the one which you are discussing just now. The impersonal light in the sky. We don't say God is not impersonal. God is impersonal plus something more. Just like India. India is controlled by whom? India is controlled by the Indian government. Is it a correct statement or a wrong statement? Yes? It's a correct statement. But India is controlled by a government that is headed by a Prime Minister of India. This is a more complete statement, isn't it? Because government of India cannot run by itself unless there is a Prime Minister. Prime Minister comes and sits in a seat and all the ministers will do their job. No? Like that. Similarly, Itre Brahmeti, then Paramatmeti it is, and then Bhagavan it is. So there are three levels of understanding God. The lowest understanding is that God is impersonal. Higher than that is, God is a person who is seated in the heart of everyone. In all of our hearts, there is a form of God sitting. It's called as Paramatma. That Paramatma is explained in Mahabharata also by Bhishma. Bhishma is glorifying God Krishna. At the time he says, the second part he says, Bhuta Vridbhuta Vridbhava Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavana Bhutatma Paramatma Samuktanam Paramagati Avaya Purusha Sakshi Chetra Gnyakshara Evacha. The second part is saying, Bhutatma Paramatma. So there he talks about the Paramatma. Who is the Paramatma? He says Paramatma is not just an impersonal life, but Paramatma has a beautiful form of Vishnu. He says he, Sashanka Chakram, Shanka Yuvata Shanka in one hand. Sachanka Chakram, Sakirita Kundalam, yes, Kirit means, what do you call it? Mukut, helmet. Kundalam, he wears a Kundalam. Sachanka Chakram, Sakirita Kundalam, Satita Vastram, he wears a beautiful Pitambar dhoti. Satita Vastram, Saratiruhe Akshanam, his eyes are like lotus petal. Sahara Vakshaha, in his chest. Stalashobi Kaustubam, there is a Kaustubam money in his chest. Namami Vishnu, Sharasha, Chaturubhujam. I bow down my head to that Vishnu, this Paramatma, Chaturbhujam, he has Chaturbhujaru, like that. Explains that. So this form of the Lord is seated in the heart of everyone as Paramatma. So as Paramatma, Lord is watching all of our activities. We often say God is omniscient, isn't it? What is the meaning of omniscience? All knowing. How he is all knowing? Because he is seated in your heart and he is watching every one of your moments. When we do good things, when we do bad things, God is watching us. So if he is seated in everyone's heart, why can't he watch? He knows everything. And also he is seated in every atom also. He is present in every atom. So this is the Paramatma understanding. And higher than that, he says, he is the Bhagavan. Just like there is one sun in the sky, but the sun is reflected in thousands and thousands of pots which contain water. The same sun is reflecting in many, many pots. So the Paramatma is there in everyone's heart, but originally who is he? Originally is Krishna. Originally there is Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan, iti shastiti. So Bhagavan, Bhagavan is the ultimate understanding. Our author has given a very simple example to understand these three stages. Like sometimes when you're going in a train, from a distance you see there are some mountains which look like clouds, isn't it? It looks just like a hazy cloud. But then when the train starts going a little closer to the mountain, then you see there are many, many, lushy green trees and forests on the top of the mountain. When you go even more closer, you may even find some houses there. You may even find some people living there, cows and goats are grazing there like that. So you get a better and better detail when you approach the mountain closer and closer. Similarly, the distance picture of God is a hazy picture. What is the picture? What is it called in Sanskrit? Just now I said three things. Brahman. Brahman is a hazy picture of God. Where you only understand God is an impersonal light. Then you go a little closer to God, then you see that the same God is a person. But he is seated in the heart of everyone. As Paramatma. And then you go even more closer, you understand that even this Paramatma actually comes from whom? One Bhagavan. Yes, Sri Krishna Bhagavan. That's why he uses Shri Bhagavan Vaja. So this is the Supreme Lord Bhagavan that is explained by Vedavyas himself. Vedavyas's father is Parashar Muni. So Parashar Muni has given the Parashar Samhita. And in that Parashar Muni is writing. See, Vedavyas is like himself the literary incarnation of God Vishnu. He has given all the scriptures as per the Lord's words, as it is given. And Parashara has given his father. He gives the definition of what is Bhagavan. The word Bhaga means opulence, the Aishwarya. Van means one who possesses. So he says, Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Ashrasya, Jnana Vairagya Chapito, Chandam Bhagam Itingana. There are six opulences, he says, which are possessed by the Bhagavan in completeness. And such opulences only make him Bhagavan. That's why it's called as Bhagavan. So, beginning with beauty, he says, if you carefully observe, even before we go to the level of understanding Bhagavan, let us see in our own life, is there anyone in this world who is not attracted by beauty? Is there anyone in this world who is not attracted by beauty? We are attracted by the beauty of the nature. We are attracted by the beauty of children. We are attracted by the beauty of opposite sex. We are attracted by beauty of so many things. Beauty is something like a spell, like a magnet, pulling the iron filing. Like that beauty in this world pulls us. Sometimes people get stuck up in someone or something's beauty. It just completely puts one in a state of intoxication, beauty. So nobody can deny that I am not attracted to beauty. If we deny that, we can see the world around us, how people who may be very beautiful, having a beautiful body, but they may not be very intelligent, still people are attracted to them. Like Miss India. In Pune they conduct a competition, Miss India, isn't it? They block all the highways and road and everything. Thousands of people come to see. They want to find out who is the beauty queen. One after another, so many people come. So people are mad. People become fans of someone who is beautiful. And of course, that beauty gradually fades away. The beauty gradually, when they become old, when they become 70, 80, 90, the beauty fades away, goes away. But still, we can't deny the fact that in this world there is beauty. So you are attracted to beauty. So where is this beauty coming from? One has to ask this question. If beauty is not there in the absolute truth, then how can beauty exist in something which came from the absolute truth? See, the whole world is created by God. So God has to be ultimately the most beautiful. Otherwise, how can people possess beauty, which is a tiny fraction of the God's energy? So one can understand like this. It's not only beauty, for that matter, all the opulence that I'll be telling you, like strength, somebody shows strength, like Mike Tyson's game, you've seen? How Mike Tyson, his death blows are most appreciated by people. Because you are not given the blow, somebody else has given. So you find great fun in seeing that, somebody exhibiting strength, somebody exhibiting beauty, somebody exhibiting intelligence. Even a child, when a child shows some intelligence, if a child is able to repeat some slogan, the parents feel so happy. My child is so intelligent. So you feel so much happiness when you see someone very sharp and intelligent. Similarly, the other opposites, fame, similar renunciation, if somebody is very renounced, you appreciate Srila Prabhupada for dedicating his life so much. So in this way, all these opulences when you find in this world, they quickly attract us, immediately towards them. We all become attracted to one or more of these opulences in this world. Somebody is attracted by beauty. Somebody is attracted by wisdom. Somebody is attracted by strength. Somebody is attracted by fame. Wealth. Somebody is attracted by wealth. Somebody is very rich, people respect them very much. So all these are different opulences which are originally present in the absolute truth. That is Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. He is called as Bhagavan. Bhagavan, that is why in Bhagavad Gita you don't find the Vyasadeva writing Sri Krishna Uvacha. He doesn't say that. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. He says, Bhagavan is one who is the possessor of all six opulences. So we can apply these six things in Krishna's life and see and compare why we call him as Bhagavan. Now even before we come to talk about Krishna as a Bhagavan, often people argue that you know, somebody calls Allah as Bhagavan, somebody calls Jesus as Bhagavan, or Jehovah, Yahweh as Bhagavan. So there are so many religions, and are there so many gods? Are there a dozen gods fighting for the position? It's not like that. God is only one. Just like the sun is only one. When you look at the sun, depending on your language, you call it by that name. What do you call sun as? Surya. So he calls it as Surya. Somebody else can call it as? Suraj. Somebody can call it as? Aditya. You call it as Aditya. You call it as Dinakar. You call it as Bhaskar. You can call it as? Karva. So many names are there. But all these people pointing out to the sun, the object is the same. But they are pointing out and calling it by a different name. Similarly, when we talk of Allah, Jehovah, Krishna, Rama, we are talking of one supreme person only. Again, we should not commit a very important mistake that many people often commit. People say, if God is one, then you can follow any religion, isn't it? Why can't you follow any religion? And you can follow any path. You can call it Yato Path. They call it. As many paths are there, ultimately all paths are leading to the same goal. You can follow any path and ultimately you come to the same God. How many of you think this conclusion is true? Yadavamat, Tatopat. Ashwani path, ultimately, they all lead to the same goal. This is actually a very famous argument in India, people make. People often make this. And it appears to be a common sense, understanding. But if you carefully see, all paths cannot lead us to the same goal. Let us see how. Like if you buy a ticket to Calcutta from here, can you go to Chennai? Or can you go to Bangalore? If you buy a ticket to Calcutta, you go to Calcutta. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Vrita Devan, Pitam Yanti Pitru Vritaha, Bhutani Yanti Putteja, Yanti Madhyajina Pima. If you worship the Devatas, you go to the Devata planet. You worship Indra, you go to Indra's planet. You worship Chandra, you go to Chandra's planet. Yanti Deva Vrita Devan, you go. And Pitam Yanti Pitru Vritaha, Bhutani Yanti Putteja. If you worship Purpadas and Purpadas, then you go to the planet, the Pitru planet. If you worship ghosts and spirits, you will go to the planets of ghosts and spirits. And if you worship me, you will come to me, he says. Similarly, people are worshipping God, but they don't have a proper understanding. So although I said God is one and all are worshipping the same God, it is very important to have a proper understanding of God. Just like the same person, Prime Minister of India, I was giving the example. All of us see him differently. Like Vajpayee. How many of us know what are the subjects Vajpayee like the most? How many of us know what are the hobbies of Vajpayee? How many of us know what are the qualities of Vajpayee? Any of us know? Or what color clothes that he likes to wear? Similarly, how many people in this world know what are the items that Krishna likes the most? Krishna likes to wear yellow color dress. And Radharani likes to wear blue color dress. Like that. So only devotees know that. And devotees know what does Krishna like and what does Krishna doesn't like. What pleases Krishna and what doesn't please Krishna. So these intimate things are not known to everyone in this world. So only the close associates of Prime Minister will know these things. They will be aware of these things. But ordinary citizens will not know that. Like how do we know Vajpayee? What is our understanding? Anybody can say? What is our understanding of Vajpayee? Yeah. So what do you expect from him? Yes, and provide you good facilities, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it? So in the same way, people of this world generally, when you talk of God, all they know is that God is Annadhata. He supplies food. He has to give us rain. He has to supply us food. And when my belly is filled and I have money and wealth to enjoy, that's all. So if God is finished, you can do your duty. And I have nothing to give and take from you. This is their understanding. Very majority of the world is like that only. So, they may be calling us Allah or Jehovah. They are also addressing God. But what do they pray to Him is very important. Oh Lord, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us our daily bread. This is the thing in our convent. Give us our daily bread. So when you give our bread, then you are a good God. Then we will accept the bread and we will salute you and we will go away. We don't want anything more from you beyond that. So this is a very primitive understanding of God. Although they are addressing the same God. So if you take Vajpayee, he will have a different relation with average citizens, and a different relation with his own sons and daughter and with his wife. So with God also he can become an intimate relative to him. Do you want to become an intimate confidential relative of God? Or you want to just be like average citizen who gets his needs fulfilled from God? What do you want to become? Yes, all of them. Intimate, yeah. Then if you want to know intimately, then the Shastras say, okay, that intimate Bhagavan is Sri Krishna. You want to know Him intimately. Or you don't want to know Him so intimately, then He is called by various names. He is called as Annadata, He is called as Super Soul, He is called as Creator, Annihilator, Destroyer, Source of Everything, Ultimate Director. All these names are used. Like, one of you may be a Managing Director in a company. But when you come home, your mother tells you, Managing Director, please take food. How will you feel? You don't feel the intimacy in that name. But when your mother calls you by your name and tells you, please take it. Deepak, please take the salad. then you feel more close. Like that. Similarly, Bhagavan understanding is the highest understanding. And Brahman and Paramatma are lower understandings. Because they are very hazy picture or very, very low level understanding of God. But when one goes higher and higher, in comes to a stage where one can understand this Bhagavan. And such devotees know Krishna's human mind. They know Krishna's heart. What the Lord makes. Now, if you see Bible, if you have read Bible, in Bible nowhere Jesus says, I am God. Nowhere. You do not find it anywhere in Bible. Jesus always says, I am Son of God. In one place it is said, where Jesus says, I and Father are one. So like I and Father are one. What does that mean? Father and Son are one in spirit. Just like we say, we all are Indians. So we are one, we say. What does that mean? Do we mean that all Indians, they have only one single body? Now, we all have different bodies. But in spirit, we all are one. So when you say, Father and Son are one, sometimes you see a boy, and he looks exactly like his father. The way he speaks, the way he does things. You know, you have seen sometimes, the father's, image is very much there in the son. So in that sense, you can say father and son are one. But the father's wife is son's mother, isn't it? You know, the son's wife is father's daughter-in-law. So when you don't mean to say that father and son are one, they are living in one body. But they are one in spirit only. In the same way, we have to understand, Jesus is not to be worshipped as God, but to be worshipped as Son of God, yeah. Sri Muhammad never claims to be God. He says, I am prophet of God. But we find in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna claims that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything emanates from me. Everything comes from me only. I am the source of everything that exists. Very openly he claims that. And he not only just claims, we can see that Krishna proves it also. When he opened his mouth to Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda saw all the Brahmanda was in his small mouth, tiny mouth. In the Vishwarupa Darshan, all the devatas are present. Like Shiva and Brahma and Indra Chandra, everyone is present in his form. And it was all in compassionate form like that. So not only Krishna claims to be God, even Arjuna declares him to be God. Arjuna says, tells Krishna, in the 10th chapter it says, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhava Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam Majam Bhivam Ahustvam Rishayas Sarve Deva Rishir Narada Tata Achito Deva Lovyaso Svayam Chaiva Bravishine. He says, my dear Krishna, he is saying, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhava. You are the Supreme Pure. Huh? You are the Supreme Lord. There is no one above you. Huh? Not only I am telling you, Krishna, out of being your friend, even the great sages and saints are telling about you. Achita, Devala, Vyasa. These are all not ordinary sages. Huh? Achita, Devala, Vyasa, great rishis. They are declaring that you are the Param Bhagavan. So, Arjuna is saying that, unfortunately, Nahi Te Bhagavan Jaksim Viduhu, Deva Ana Dhanavaha. Even the Devatas and the Dhanavas, demons, they all get bewildered knowing who is the Supreme God. They don't know that you are the Supreme God. Even people get bewildered. Why they get bewildered? Because they think of you to be an ordinary person. They see that Krishna is moving about in this world like you and me. He looks like an ordinary boy. See, if somebody has four hands, you will start becoming fearful. Right? He has four hands. The peculiar person. He is not like me. So people respect Vishnu more than Krishna in this world. Because Vishnu has four hands. But Krishna looks like an ordinary person. Kunti also says this. Krishna, you look like an ordinary person, so people will mistake you to be an ordinary person. Still, Parashurama explains how by understanding the six opulences which Krishna possesses, one will be able to appreciate him to be God. So I was telling about beauty. Krishna's beauty is very beautifully described. He is called as a Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan means one who can attract even the Cupid. Cupid is Madan. Actually, Cupid is one who attracts everyone's heart. Like, you know, you are normal, but then when Cupid sends an arrow in your heart, flower arrow, with a sugarcane bough, it is said. With a sugarcane bough, he sends a flower arrow. Then when that arrow attacks our heart, at once we feel we become very lusty, either in the mind or openly. Then we become mad after somebody's beauty. And that beauty keeps on repeatedly haunting us. But it is said, once when Krishna was standing in a beautiful posture, playing on his flute, with his peacock feathers, decorating his crown, who was standing at Vamshivatan, beautiful plane, in the form of Madan Mohan. So Cupid came there. So he happened to see Krishna. And he painted that, looking at the beauty of Krishna. So Cupid is the most beautiful, even he becomes attracted to Krishna's beauty, he said. So, and Krishna's beauty is appreciated in the scriptures very, very vividly. In Srimad Bhagavatam also it is described how the Lord's eyes are like lotus petals, Lord's nose is like a sesame flower, Lord's lips are like a bimba fruit, and Lord's cheeks are like shining pearls. They are shining like a pearl. And Lord wears a beautiful sharp shaped earring which is glistening, which is shining on the cheeks of the Lord. And the Lord's smile on his face, he is so beautiful. It is said that if one sees Krishna smile, then all one's sufferings will be eradicated. Ocean of fear will be eradicated if one can see Krishna smile. So how can we see Krishna smile? By becoming his devotee, in our heart that beautiful smile of Krishna will be revealed. So those devotees of Krishna who achieved the darshan of Lord's smile, they are never attracted by any beauty of this world. None of the greatest beauties of the world can attract them. Not possible. Because they have already become captured with Krishna's beautiful smile. Similarly, Lord's wealth is unlimited. In fact, Lord is called Ananta Koti Brahmanda Nayak. All the Brahmandas are owned by him. But he is so wealthy that he can just leave the Brahmanda for the Jiva, take it. You take it and you enjoy it. He doesn't claim proprietorship. Not only that, when Krishna came to this world, he showed how he married 16,000 queens. See, in the Vedic times, marrying means then you have to give facility also. Otherwise, you cannot marry more than one. Depending on how many queens you marry, you have to give facility for them. So Krishna gave 16,000 palaces. For each of the queens, he could give one big palace to them. And every one of those palaces were protected with jewels and ornaments and gold and silver and so many things like that. So Krishna displayed his wealth, opulence of his wealth when he appeared in Dwaraka like this. Narada was going from one house to another. And in every house, Narada would find Krishna is, you know, with one of the queens in the sitting in the swing, performing the duties of the house. And the houses were full of opulence. When Sudama Vipra came to Dwaraka, he saw the palaces were so huge, you know, and so beautifully decorated. So in this way, the Lord displays His wealth when He comes to this world. And that will make everyone else humble, understanding the might of Lord's wealth. Prabhupada would often say this when he was teaching abroad. Somebody may say, I am rich. Okay, you are rich in India. Somebody may say, I am the number one richest man in the whole world. Like, who is the richest man now? Bill Gates. But even Bill Gates cannot say, I am the richest man forever. He can't say. Even Bill Gates has to maintain his position. Otherwise somebody will beat him. But the Lord's wealth is so great that there is no question of anybody beating it. Nobody can beat his wealth. It just surpasses everything. The wealth of the jivas is not even a small, tiny fraction. So one time, Bhaktan Sasu was telling, if we get one brick from Vaikuntha, we can build millions of temples in this world with the wealth of the brick. One brick of Vaikuntha, he used to say like that. So large opulences in Vaikuntha is unlimited. There is no limit to that. So material opulences in this world and spiritual opulences, unlimited. In fact, Lakshmi is always at his feet, serving his feet and ready to execute any order immediately. It is said in the spiritual world, Lakshmi is also taking a jadu, taking a broomstick and sweeping. Why should Lakshmi be sleeping? There is no dirt in the spiritual world. Still she is sleeping. Simply to earn the favor of Narayana. Earn the favor of the Lord. So in this way, Lord is the most wealthiest. Lord is the most beautiful. And Lord is the strongest. As soon as you think of strength, Mike Tyson or this Muhammad Ali comes to my mind. This Muhammad Ali also was a very great boxer. Who used to claim that I am the greatest. But later, Muhammad Ali's hands became very, very, very weak. He lost all his strength, so much so that he could not even hold the Olympic torch. The torch was given to him. Two men were holding it for him, and then, just like, you know, the Olympic torch, they take it from one place to another place and hand it over, no? He was supposed to do that. He could not even touch it. He could not even hold it. So people, reporters asked him, what about your statement that I am the greatest? He said, that statement is still holding true, he said. I am the greatest. but I am the greatest of fools, he said. Because I thought that I will remain greatest always. But see, now my nerves have no strength. I lost all strength, he said. So strength, how long can we have strength? Especially when we are young, you know, we have so much vigor in the body. Sometimes in our youth, we want to show our vigor. Whatever comes in our way, we kick it. You have experience of that? Anything that comes in our way. I saw one advertisement, they had put some women, you know, bending their body and doing some gymnastics. And then they had written that, you know, don't think you will always remain young like this, you know, you will get old. And I think you have to plan for your old age, something like that. You know. So that means even materialistic people are understanding that, you know, our strength in youth will not remain with us always. Isn't it? Even people understand that, the vigor we have, gradually the body will dry up and we will lose strength, we will have joint pain, you know, rheumatics and arthritis and all that. But Krishna never had a fit problem. Even when I was 1 to 125 years old man, the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was looking like a 16-year-old boy. Navayavana. He was looking so youthful. So he is extremely, he's so strong that he can even lift the Govardhan Hill, just like a, you know, child is lifting a mushroom. Like that he was lifting Govardhan Hill. We can go on talking glories of Krishna's strength. So what are they? Wealth, strength, beauty. And the Lord's fame is glorified by Ananda Shesh with thousands of mouth for thousands of years. Constantly glorified. And all the books in Bhagavatam, there is a word called Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka means one who is glorified by choice poetry. See, you cannot just glorify Krishna with ordinary words. You need choicest words to glorify him. Like, you know, you want to thank someone who has given you life. How will you thank him? You know, you have to look into the dictionary. What words should I use to thank him? So Krishna is so great that even the words in the dictionary are not enough to glorify him. Choicest words are required to glorify him. So Uttama Shloka word is used. Somebody may say, how do you say Krishna is so famous? I don't know him so much. He is not as famous as Michael Jackson or, you know, he is not as famous as some cinema actor. We don't know him so much. But people of this world living in this material world are like people living in a jail. People living in Aravada jail one corner. What connection have they got to the Prime Minister of India? Prime Minister of India is busy with his activities. So they are in one corner. So we shouldn't think in a small Brahmanda, how much people know about the Lord. Even now, Bhagavad Gita is appreciated even by the atheistic people. People who don't know anything about Bhagavad Gita, even they say it's a very deep scripture. Great scientists and scholars and philosophers and writers, they all appreciate Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's one word is so powerful that even today people, after 5,000 years of speaking this word, immortal words, is being glorified even today like that. So, Lord's fame, one devotee was telling us how even the fame of Michael Jackson and Shah Rukh Khan or any famous actor is also Krishna's fame only, he said. Why? Because when we look at the beauty of this world, we become mad, but the beauty is a tiny reflection of Krishna's beauty. So whenever we look at the beauty of this world, we are thinking of Krishna only. Medicine people don't know that. They are actually identifying with that beauty and wanting to achieve that beauty. But this is like a reflection in the water. Just like if there is an original mango in the tree. You will also find the same mango in the reflection, water also. But then somebody is appreciating the mango in the water. He is supposed to appreciate the original mango. But he is thinking that this mango is the beautiful mango. But then even if he dives into water, he won't get it, isn't it? In the same way, Krishna's beauty is the original beauty and all these people have some small, tiny fraction of that beauty, like that. So this way, Krishna's fame, Krishna's knowledge. Krishna was so knowledgeable, he told Arjuna, Arjuna, don't be lamenting now, go to the side of Kaurava. Now, Bhishma has kept 5 arrows to kill all of you tomorrow. Go and fetch those arrows. Those arrows are with Duryodhana, he said. How does Krishna know it? What does Krishna know? Because he is God, he can know it. He can know the future. In fact, Krishna tells very openly in the 4th chapter to Arjuna, Arjuna, you are an ordinary soul, but I am God. I can know all my past births. And you also have acquired many, many past births, but you don't know all of them. But I can know all of them. But I am God, but you are ordinary jiva. So this is the meaning of God. God can know everything. What is happening here, what is happening there, what will happen today, what will happen tomorrow, what will happen after a million years, everything he knows, like that. So he is all knowledgeable. That is why the scriptures which are given by God, they are so foolproof. By following the scriptures, you can achieve all perfection. Because they are word of God. And lastly, renunciation of God is really the ultimatum. It's really the ultimate. Although he possesses all these things, he never feels any pride. As you see here, where Arjuna is sitting and Krishna is riding the chariot of Arjuna. So the Lord, although he is so great, see, even in this world, if some great person does something very simple, we appreciate, isn't it? Like, you know, Gandhi used to go to the poor people in slums and meet them, or some big politician, or the Prime Minister of India comes to slums in Pune, immediately they click photograph. Often politicians do that to get a photograph in the newspaper. Like in South India, I've seen politicians used to go to temples. So they would go to churches, they would go to Hindu temples, they will go to mosque also, so they get all the word from all that people like that. So to make a show. But originally speaking, this is there in Krishna. When Krishna, he loves serving as devotees. It's not that Krishna just goes and enters service to earn good name and fame. He spontaneously feels that he has to serve his devotees like Arjuna, like he's riding the chariot here. You know, he told the Yudhishthira that in Natsuri Yajna, I will sit at the doorstep and wash the feet of all the sages and saints who come there. And let everyone else do other service. Lord took such a simple role. So this is, this is a very, very great quality. Such renunciation by a great person is very, very rarely to be seen. You see, all of us in this world, depending on how much we grow wealthier and wealthier in our life, do we not expect more and more respect? Isn't it? Is there anyone here who says that when I become more and more wealthier, I don't expect so much respect? We expect more and more respect, and we also expect more and more luxuries, comforts. Like if I have a cycle now, you know, if I get more wealth, I'll buy a scooter, or I'll buy a car, or I may have my own aeroplane. I'll increase my facilities more and more, isn't it? As you get wealthier. But is it possible to see such a wealthy man doing a menial service like serving somebody like Arjuna? Like Krishna, the wealthier, and he is sitting and riding a chariot. Very, very surprising. How can the Lord have such a mood? This is called renunciation. In this world, wearing a simple gamcha, towel, the body, you know, having a kantamala and the necks, having chanting beads. They were constantly chanting and preaching Krishna consciousness. Now, when we see this kind of renunciation, we really stand there. Just see how a person is renounced. This is why people become attracted to sannyasis. When they see the sannyasi has given everything, he doesn't want to enjoy anything of the world. He has given up his family, his relationships, wealth, comforts, luxuries, he has given up everything. And he is living at the feet of God always. So people become attracted to that renunciation. So that is also one opulence. That is why it's called one of the opulence. But that opulence is manifested by Krishna in its fullness. Completeness it is manifested like that. So in this way, Bhagavan is one who has all the six opulences in full. So Krishna shows these opulences when he comes to this world. And from Shastra also we read how Krishna exhibits his opulences. That is why Shastra says that Krishna is a Purna Purushottam. It is the complete manifestation of Godhead. Somebody may be a partial manifestation of Godhead. For example, if Prime Minister is sending an ambassador, he is not a complete manifestation of Prime Minister. Ambassador may do some work, but he doesn't have the full power of the Prime Minister. Or the Prime Minister may send a messenger. The messenger also is not equivalent to the Prime Minister. When Prime Minister comes, he has his complete fullness. Similarly, Krishna is the one supreme source of all the other manifestations, including Vishnu's, including Ram, including all the avatars like Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasingha, Vamana, and all the avatars. They all come from Krishna. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse that says, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That's the verse. This keyword, this phrase was taken by Jiva Goswami and he wrote about 4 lakh verses on this. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Jiva Sundar was then based on this keywords only. So before this keyword, the 24 avatars are given. What are those avatars? Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsingha, Vamana, all those avatars are given. At the end of it is given Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. He doesn't say Vishnu Bhagavan Swayam, he doesn't say. See, in those 24, Krishna's name also is that. Just like, you know, sometimes if a particular state doesn't have a competent chief minister, no? Then the prime minister only takes lead, you know that? Similarly, sometimes Krishna himself comes as one of the avatars. That doesn't mean that Krishna is one of the avatars of Vishnu. He himself comes sometimes. But then after giving all those avatars names, ultimately they say, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. It doesn't say Shivastu Bhagavan Swayam. It doesn't say any other name. Rama. It says Krishna. Krishna is the source of everyone. And all others, Rama comes as Maryada Purushottam. He is a very, very moral. He is the personification of morality, supreme morality. So that is only one side of God. So Rama answers that. Of course, Rama is also called as God, a supreme personality of God. Vishnu is also called as God. Just like if they keep 100 candles here, and they take one candle and then lit up all the candles. So all candles will look alike. Just like the original candles, isn't it? But then although they all are equally luminous, there is one original candle. That candle is Krishna. So Krishna, he expands as Vishnu, Ram and Avatara and all. Although they all are considered as Vishnu Tattvas, the original candle is very important. That is Krishna. Source of everyone. That's very important to understand. So here in this verse is saying, Natve Vaham Jatanasam Natvam Neme Janadipa. My dear Arjuna, never was there a time when I did not exist. That means I am the Supreme God, I have been always existing outside the domain of time. And nor you, even you are a jiva, even you also existed eternally. Neither you are born nor I was born. We all are existing eternally in the spiritual world. And even all these things also, he said. So all these things, we all. That means there is one Supreme God and there are infinite servants of God. We all exist eternally. That is telling Arjuna. So this God explains in the later chapters also, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanadaya. The jivas are my ancha. Ancha means a small part. Lord says, I am the whole, but the jivas are my ancha. Just like the gold. If you make some golden ornament, they are all anchas of a gold mountain. Gold mountain is huge, gold mine. But the golden ornaments are small, tiny parts of the gold. So we all are tiny. And the beauty of the tiny parts of God is that we also have the same propensities of God. Like God is supreme enjoyer. So we also want to become enjoyer. So Krishna is feeling better. So we also have tendency to steal. So Krishna is dancing with gopis. So we also want to dance with women. And Krishna, there are so many activities, and because we are a minute sample, we also want to do that. Can we do that? Is it possible? Like Krishna is displaying strength. So we also want to display our strength and show others that how strong am I. People want to show their power. How much power I have politically or financially or physically. So we want to show our power. But what is the mistake? If we are minute samples of Krishna, we also want to do the same thing what Krishna can do. Is it wrong? Where are we going wrong? Who can say?
Ego.
Ego.
We have created ego in our
display. Okay. Anybody else?
We are
supposed to be in the mood of servant, we are trying to be the enjoyer. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
in quantity we are not okay. Somebody else? It's all a correct answer. But a complete answer is this. That because we are parts of God, we can get enjoyment only by serving God. It's not possible to do the things what Krishna does. We cannot do it. It's not possible. We have to understand that we are minute and our powers are limited. Like she was telling about the quantity, our powers are limited. For example, Krishna and Balaram, they jumped off a mountain from something like, 800 miles or so. Then Jarasandha was putting fires all around. So they jumped around 800 miles. Now imagine you are going in the aeroplane and you become inspired. Krishna can do, why can't I? So you tell the people, I don't want any parachute, I'll jump off from the plane. 800 miles from the top. What will happen to my legs? Isn't it? You know, they cannot count our bones also. No? Isn't it? We cannot just imitate what Krishna does. It's not possible. We are minute. Just like the gold ornament, it's minute. It's not like the gold mountain. A small drop of ocean is also qualitatively one with the ocean. But can a drop of water wreck a ship? Is it possible? It can't break a ship. Whereas a vast ocean can, you know, break a ship into pieces. So we should always remember these facts. So God is great and I am minute. And because we are part, always the nature of the part is to serve the whole. Like for example, we all are citizens of India. So we serve India, no? Because we are part of India. Now just imagine if every state, like in Andhra Pradesh, there was one, I remember, Chittipotti Ramalu was there. 40 days he fasted. Because he wanted Andhra to become a separate country. And then he died also. No? So if Andhra says, I want to become India myself fully, is it possible? If every part wants to enjoy, if every part wants to become the whole, then it is not possible. Then nothing can move. Then there will only be fight between the parts. Often we give the example, no? Like the hand, if hand is, why should I serve the stomach? Let me enjoy separately. Not possible. Part can never enjoy without serving the whole. Yes, we can put the same statement in the affirmative way. No? The part can enjoy by serving the whole. Part can enjoy. Like by glorifying Krishna, you get happiness. By decorating Krishna's deity, you wake up in the morning, you bathe Krishna, you put beautiful flower and dress on his body and garments and everything, then you will feel happiness. You cook food at home and offer it to Krishna and then eat it, then you will feel happiness. So this is the formula given in the scriptures. That by serving God, you will get happiness because the path gets happiness by serving the whole. So we will be studying about this more at later time. But suffice to say now at this stage, that God is one supreme and we all are infinite eternals. And by serving God, we can also achieve happiness. That's why Krishna introduces the verse right at the beginning. It is Arjuna. I am eternal Arjuna and you are all eternal. Everyone is eternal. He's beginning with this individual point. He is saying that you can never enjoy alone. You can only enjoy by following my instruction. That's what Krishna says. Just like a child can enjoy only by following father's instruction, right? Like a child, father sends him to school, father will send the child to school, and the parents know what is good for the child. They will give him good eatables to eat, nice to wear, and they will protect the child from all kinds of dangers. Similarly, Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradaha Pita. I am the ultimate path. I know what is your welfare, and I will give it to you. You just follow my instruction. So that is what Krishna wants us to understand through this verse. So, right at the outset, Vyasa uses the word Sri Bhagavan Vacha to kindle this feelings of servitude in our hearts. Then understand that Lord is Bhagavan, He is full of six opulences, and our opulences are all simply tiny reflections of His opulences. It stays for a short period of time. With all of us here, we all have some opulence. I'll conclude with pastime that comes in the Samudra Mantra. You all know Samudra Mantra, churning on the milk ocean. There, many objects came. Uchishrava, heart came. And the elephant came, Airavat elephant, that was given to Indra. Then many things came, like liquor came, and so many things came like that. And one of the items that came was Rama Devi, beautiful form of Rama, which is goddess of fortune. And she came, she was carrying a garland in her hand, and she was having restless eyes, looking here and there, a suitable husband to whom she can put the garland. It was like Swayambhu, you know. She was looking for a husband. Of course, everyone knows Goddess of Fortune is the property of Lord Narayana or Vishnu. She won't challenge anybody else. But still, the Rama was so beautiful, everyone was thinking, whom is she going to challenge? Probably me. Everyone was thinking, probably she's attracted to me. She was looking here and there. And she considered in her mind about everyone. She saw different people. For example, she saw Shukracharya. She thought, Shukracharya is a very learned person in the Shastra. But he is very attached to wealth and his children. The word Shukra means semen. So he has a similar attachment to his family and children and husband, wife, father, mother. That attachment is very much. So she left him. Then she thought of Durvasa. She said, Durvasa has great ascetic power. But then she says, but he gets so angry that all these people send him to the enemy's house. they, if you don't like somebody, people can throw us at that. Just like Duryodhana did that. Then she thought of Parashuram. Parashuram is very great. He has such a valor. He took the axe and he killed the 21 generations of Kshatriyas. He's so mighty. But then he is not at all merciful. Because he killed, he cut off the neck of his own mother upon the order of his father, she said. Then she considered Brahma. Brahma is the first created living being. And he is also very beautiful and very powerful, very opulent. But then she said, once Brahma created a beautiful woman called Tilottama, for the sake of bewildering two brothers, Sunda, Upasunda, there were two brothers. These two brothers, the problem is when two demons are very friendly, it is very dangerous for the world. They were very friendly, they were brothers, they are very cooperative. And they both are going in all parts of the world and creating havoc in the whole world. So Brahmaji created this Tilottama, beautiful girl to attract them. But then after creating this girl, Brahma himself became bewildered, became attracted after that. Then she said, it's useless. Brahma became lusty once. So he rejected Brahma also. Then she considered Indra. What about Indra? Indra is the king of all demigods. But then she said, oh Indra, once one great demon called Namuchi chased Indra. And Indra ran and ran all over the world, universe. At last he entered into a lotus stem where Lakshmiji resides. He entered into a lotus stem and then took shelter of God for his protection. So he always feared his enemies. And even when Hiranyakashipu was ruling, Indra was hiding behind the throne. Hiranyakashipu threw him off his throne. So she said, Indra is also useless. And then she said, there are so many people in this world who may be ready to marry me. But then they are not able to satisfy their wife. It's very difficult to satisfy one's wife because the demands of wife are many. I have no experience of that. Married people will know. What are the demands that wives make? It says in Shastra that the demands are unlimited. It's like it goes on and on and on. These wives don't feel bad, Mataji. But it is just saying nature of a materialistic woman, not of a devotee woman. Devotees are very satisfied. So it says, so generally wives feel, in the beginning they demand one or two things, and then they go on demanding, and after that they feel, I don't have a competent husband who can satisfy my desires. So Rama said, that there are many great personalities in this world, they are very great in themselves, but they cannot satisfy their wife. But then she said, but there are some husbands, like Ravana, he brought Devakanyas from all over the universe, wherever you would see a beautiful woman, you would bring them, and keep them in the Antapura. In his private quarters, and then satisfy them with gold and silver and facilities for eating and keeping all enjoyments like that. So he could satisfy his wife. But then, she said, although they could satisfy their wife, they did not live long. Ravana didn't even know when he was going to die. He was killed very easily. So they didn't live long life. So what's the use? Then she considered Shiva. She said, Shiva, he lives practically forever. So the period of the whole universe, Lord Shiva is living. And he is also able to satisfy Parvati. Although Shiva is living under the tree, still Parvati is ready to live with him. She doesn't mind. She is quite happily situated. But then she said, Shiva is great in asceticism, great in everything. But then, so much inauspiciousness is connected to him. You know, his neck is surrounded by snakes, and he is always surrounded by hobgoblins and spirits and ghosts and things like that. So she rejected Shiva also. At last she saw there was one spotless person. Who was that? Narayana. That Narayana. She went and got him. She couldn't find any defect in him. He was spotless. So that Narayana himself is the expansion of Krishna. It is that Narayana has 60 qualities, but Krishna has 64 qualities. Because Narayana, he is more grave and sober. Whereas Krishna, you don't find Krishna very grave. Krishna is standing with his flute in a threefold bending form. Krishna stands in a beautiful form. And that form is more charming to the hearts of devotees. That's why it's called as a Rupa Madhuri, we call it. Krishna's Rupa Madhuri means his form is very, very attractive. And it's called Leela Madhuri. You will never find Krishna standing alone. Have you ever seen Krishna standing alone? He's always surrounded by his devotees, like cows and calves and peacocks and deer and everything like that. So in this way, there are four qualities of Krishna which are superior. Even Lord Vishnu. Vishnu has many qualities. That's why it says, even that Lakshmiji once wanted to take part in Rasa dance, it is said, where Krishna was dancing with the gopis. Of course, Krishna and Vishnu are saying, so there is nothing wrong if Lakshmiji wants to participate in Rasa dance. But Krishna told her, if you want to participate, then you have to serve the gopis. You have to become like the covered girls of Vrindavan. Then Lakshmiji went to Vrindavan as a Bilvavan even today. She went there, she saw that the gopis are, you know, beating the gobar, cow dung and preparing cakes, cow dung cakes, and they are churning butter, and they are milking the cows, and they are doing very, very menial services, and they were looking very simple. Lakshmi thought that, how can I become like that? She is actually a queen, she is actually goddess of fortune. She couldn't take up such a menial role. Then she performed severe penance in Bilvavan. Bilvavan is a place where she performed penance, and because even today they go there to offer khichdi to Lakshmiji. After a blessing that she will achieve Krishna. And at last Lakshmiji achieved Krishna. But because she couldn't become like a coward girl, she entered Krishna's chest, and there is a, in the center of Krishna's chest, there is a Sri Vatsa symbol, a golden hat. That is actually God of Lakshmiji. Krishna told you, be in this place, and you can watch the beautiful dance. She is just watching, taking that role. So this goes to show that Lakshmiji ultimately surrendered to Krishna by taking a position in his heart, like that. So, that is why Krishna is called as a Purna Purushottam, a complete manifestation of Godhead. So if you have this understanding, then Bhagavad Gita will make more sense for us. We are beginning Bhagavad Gita, we are in the second chapter now. So such a Supreme Lord himself is speaking with his own lips. He is telling word. Just consider how important it will be. In a company, if your boss comes and tells something, like a department head or managing director of the company comes, then everyone assembles, everyone stands up and they salute him. When he starts speaking, you know, then everyone hears with attention. Like your company owner may say that, you know, this is our aim of a company. You know, we want to achieve this goal by this time. And we are going to go to Germany, we are going to go to London, we are going to do this. You know, everyone is hearing attentively. Similarly, Krishna is not just the managing director of the universe. He is actually the owner of all the universe. So when he speaks, then we have to more attentively hear it. So that is for our ultimate good. So Bhagavad Gita should be taken in that spirit, with this understanding of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Some immediately they form a circle after that. Of course, it's up to you who all want to join the circle, they do like that. So 10 or 20 people join, others who are fearful, they go to the corner, they hide behind, and they watch the scene, what happens further. And these 10 people are supposed to recalculate one point from the Bhagavatam class lecture, what was said. Of course, they should not repeat the point. Like in one class, professor asked, can you give an example of an amphibian? One boy said, a frog. And he asked the next boy, what about you? He said, another frog. So such answer is not expected. You are supposed to give a new example. So I thought if you have no questions, we can do that. You all can say one sentence from today's class. Who would like to begin? If you begin, then you will be safe, because later on you will have less point. Yes. Anybody would like to begin?
Depending on how close you are to God, you get to see three different types of God. Ramanji is Brahman, Brahman is Brahman, and Bhagavan.
Yes. Prime Minister in the Parliament and Prime Minister at home. These three examples remember. What are the three examples? Government of India, Prime Minister in the Parliament office, and Prime Minister at his house. So then Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan can understand it very easily. Anybody else would like to answer? You would like to recollect? Oh, he's the official acceptor of all the yajna in this world. That's like a managing director is the official acceptor of all respects within a company, and not the owner. Similarly, Vishnu is the official acceptor of all the sacrifices within this world. See, sometimes people use this word, Akasha Chakram Toyam, Hedagat Sagaram, Sarva Deva Namaskaraha, Keshavam Pratigachati. People use this word. Very simple meaning, you know. Just like water flows from the sky, it goes in the form of rivers, and ultimately to the ocean. Similarly, any devata you worship, ultimately it goes to this thing only. It's like saying that, you know, if you whatever money you give to the chief minister, ultimately it goes to the prime minister only, right? But Say, Prime Minister of India lays a tax for you. Say, you have to pay 1 lakh rupees tax. But somebody thinks this 1 lakh is too high. I cannot do this much. Let me go to the minister. The minister says, see, if you give me 10,000, I will make this 1 lakh into 50,000. Says, minister says that. Will you not give? Many people will do that, isn't it? So you go to the minister and then you give him just 10,000 and then you give 50,000 to the government and then 40,000 you have saved like that. But ultimately, if Prime Minister of India catches the minister, you know, he catches him, you know, that you have allowed this, you know, why did you allow this kind of concession? And then he will take that money from him, correct? Whatever money you have given, he will take it from him, and then you will also be made to pay the balance also. Similarly, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Parityajya, he says at the end, you know, surrender everything, abandon all guarantees of religion, follow the four regulative principles. No mating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and the child never names. And don't desire anything from me, just surrender to me. So this is a very high, you know, demand that Lord makes. People think this is impossible. Then the old demigods say, okay, we are also worshipping, but you will ask them different things. You give Janandehi, Putandehi, Janandehi, like that, they ask different things. And then when they worship demigods, they worship with a motive. Correct? But ultimately demigods are under Krishna, they will give whatever you give it to them, they will give. But then when you are demanding some material benefits from them, we also should be ready for accepting the sufferings that come along. Like a coin, it doesn't come only with the head, it comes with the tail also. Similarly, if you want something for enjoyment, you also get something for suffering. But Lord says, you surrender to me without any motivation, you will become free from all suffering. So which is better? So if one is ready to become free from all suffering, one wants to, one has to pay the highest price. It's like a diamond, like a real diamond and an imitation diamond. Real diamond is very costly. Imitation glass is very cheap, it looks like a diamond. So devatas also can worship, and they will give you many benedictions, but you will also get suffering along with that. But when one worships Krishna, one becomes free from all suffering. Actually, this question was asked by Yudhishthira also to Krishna. Krishna, those who worship you, they are poverty stricken. Those who worship Shiva are so wealthy. So he was telling, Lord said, those who worship me, they get transcendental benefit. They go beyond this world, they come to the spiritual sky. But those who worship the devatas, they are again and again coming in the same world. They are born in different families. They never achieve end. They never achieve moksha until they come to the feet of Krishna, like that. Of course, occasionally sometimes you find Krishna's devotee is very wealthy, like, you know, Sudama got so much wealth, so much palace. If Krishna thinks that he will not misuse the money, then he may give money to his devotees. But the point is this, that worshipping the Lord directly can never be equated to worshipping the Lord through the devatas. So when you worship the devatas, you are not developing love for the Lord. Like I was telling you, you know, knowing the government of India is not same as knowing the Prime Minister very closely. Isn't it? It's like that. Yeah, any other points? Anybody?
Anywhere in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has not been shown like created person. Yeah. He is only like up to the interview.
Yeah.
Childhood has been shown.
Young age. Once he comes to youth, he never ages beyond youth.
Yeah.
It is said actually, Navayavanam, it is said. What is it first? Venum Pananka Maramindatalaya Kaksham Parhavatam Dasam. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Visheshavam. Govinda Madhukshin Kamani. One more word. All over the Sindhara. Kalakat Panamale Vamsi Ratnangaram Panekeri Kalal. Shaman Sripanga Lalitam. Not even that. There is another version in Brahma Samhita which says, that although there was the beginning of the Navayavanamcha. No. Adyam Purana Purusham. He is very old, but Navayavanam. In the material world, the more you become Puran, your body also becomes Puran. If we become aged, then you also become old. Whereas Krishna is the oldest person, but he has the most youthful body. It is Adyam Purana Purusham. Navayavanam. Navayavanam is ever fresh, youthful. He looks like that. Like a 16-year-old boy. Always looks very young. Anybody else have any other points from the class today? You can even recapitulate after any point.
Yeah.
Suddenly in the company culture, customer is considered like God. In fact, there are so many seminars offered on how to take care of the customer and how not to irritate him, how not to put him off, how not to lose the customer and all those things. In your practical life, certainly when one becomes a Krishna devotee, he also knows how to behave with the people of the world. All those things we learn. But we don't stop with serving our customers nicely and forgetting God. Because this life which you are leading now, gradually our body is changing, we get old, at one point of time we die, and we don't know what is going to be our future. So, when we talk about God, we also talk of several lifetimes, which comes to a termination point, at which we go back to God, to live with Him eternally. Although these things may appear right now for us to be far-fetched, when we keep coming for the classes and understanding, we understand that we are not this body. Body is simply a lump of chemicals. But we are different from the body. We are a person who is driving this body. That will be studying in the next verse. Next meeting we will be studying about that. Who are we, in a sense. Today we studied about God. Next time we will be studying about ourselves. Who are we? Then you can understand who is God and who am I and what is the relationship. Of course, we can serve our customers nicely. It's a good lesson we learn. But here, what did we learn today? About the stomach and the example, you can say from that. What did I say when I told about the hand and the stomach?
It's all about
That means the jiva, the soul, what you understand is that the soul cannot be independent of God. By serving God, he achieves happiness. Anybody else has a point? Actually the part, every part of the machine so wonderfully works together to ultimately bring out the product, isn't it? Similarly, if all the jivas work with Krishna, in Krishna consciousness harmony, then they will achieve all the happiness like this. Anybody else? Is the point? Any matter?
Six uplifts of God.
Yes. You can say, follow me. What is this?
All wealth, all beauty, all renunciation, all strength,
all fame,
all riches.
Yeah. All knowledge. Yeah. Who else? Anybody else? Yes, sir. Yourself, what's your name? Shal. Sushil, yes, sir. Yes, very good point, sir. Yes, you are a part. So the part is, the duty of the part is to serve the whole. Yeah. In fact, this is a theory. When you do it practically, you will see. When you do all the things that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, by serving Him, one can achieve abundant happiness. Because people don't know this, everyone tries to become God in life. You are telling about ego also. Everyone has so much ego. In companies, they teach so much how you should not show your ego. See, cooperation is more important than, collective cooperation is more important than individual excellence. Many companies, they need that. But teamwork is more important than individual excellence. That's very difficult because the ego is such a big factor. But when one becomes a devotee, then one gives up the false ego and then understands I am a part and parcel of God. Now my duty is to serve God. And by serving, he gets happiness. Then why will he not serve more? Serve God more. That gives him more and more happiness. In fact, he achieves real happiness. Anybody else, Mataji? Anybody? Like to make a point, yeah. Ah, that's a very important point to make today. Yeah, correct. Yes, further? Yeah. That's correct, yeah. So we should not be under that grand delusion. Because everyone having any misconception, about the ultimate God, they will not achieve the ultimate destination. Everyone will go only to a level of the deep level of realization they have realized. Only that level they can go. Many people in this world have very primitive understanding about God. They just think of God to be some annadata and things like that. How can they achieve the kingdom of God with that? That is why we are trying to scientifically understand God more deeply. When you go more deeply and understand final levels of God realization, then we will be able to appreciate that one has to pay the price to achieve God. Anybody else? What do you think? Yes. That certainly is very important. Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. Anybody else? Anybody else like to make a statement? So everyone in this world has deficiency. All of us, even in ourselves, we can see deficiency, isn't it? From everyone, if you think about yourself, you can find that you have some good qualities and some negative qualities. Somebody is very beautiful but gets very angry. You have seen sometimes. Somebody has great intelligence but has no beauty. Or somebody is very wealthy, but they lack other qualities like that. In this world you will always find like that. But Supreme Lord has all qualities in the world. Father, anybody else?
Krishna.
I
also receive a lot of feeling that
some
people are saying that don't
pray for other gods. Right? Because we don't say don't pray to other gods. We tell people to see other gods as a part and parcel of the absolute truth. For example, say MLA of Pune. If MLA of Pune comes here, suddenly we will wish him. We will garland him. But if MLA of Pune comes along with Prime Minister of India, who will regard that?
Obviously,
you may not directly say don't pay to other gods. The way you say that, you should pay to the regard, you should not attain that level. If you directly pay to Krishna, you will attain yourself. It is indirectly saying that pay to Krishna. Because other gods, as per the scriptures, they are supposed to fulfill your material needs. For example, I'll tell you, Surya, if you go to Surya, he is supposed to cure your diseases. You can see that, I can quote Sanskrit verses of this one, which clearly says that Surya Devata is meant for curing diseases. Saraswati is meant for giving you education. Ganesh is meant for removing obstacles. Similarly, Durga is supposed to give you material benedictions as well as a beautiful wife or husband like that. Similarly, Shiva also. So every god gives you many material benedictions, and what they will give also is mentioned in scripture. Like, Vidyarthi, Vidyarthi Labate Vidyam, Dharati Labate Dhanam, Putarthi Labate Putram, he says, no? So, all these things, Jape Ganapati Stotram, Shadirva Masam, Phalam Labedi, 6 months you worship Ganesh, you will get this benefits like that. So, one can get to these different gods and achieve the material benefits if they want. But what you are saying here, beyond the material benefits, there is a platform of love. In that platform of love, a devotee doesn't demand any material benefits from God. That's like a son, sometimes a son is always telling the father, please give me money, harassing him like that. So that is one type of relationship. But a much superior relationship is a platform of love, where one doesn't demand anything material from God. One knows that, God will give what I need in my life and let me simply love and serve him, like that. So love is a much higher platform. Which is a higher platform? Demanding material things for our enjoyment is a higher platform, but love is a higher platform. Worshipping God out of love is a higher platform. In fact, love is what that can bring real happiness to one's heart. All the things wealth and facilities and luxuries, these things may give some superficial happiness. But when love is there, then one can feel their happiness. So what he insists is that love. Clear?
Yes, but Krishna has no. So one part is the second part is Krishna is a being and he's coming, this is incarnate.
Yeah.
So again, is it said that as coming in different incarnations?
Actually, Krishna, see, we have an eternal relation with the Lord in the spiritual world. There is a spiritual world, we haven't spoken about it. There is a spiritual world and there is a material world. This is the material world where we are living now. So spiritual world is a place where there is only one supreme God. See, you may call him Krishna, or you may call him Jehovah, you may call him Allah, any college, there is one supreme God. But all other gods subordinate to him. There is only one Supreme God. There is not more than one. But often people think you can worship any god. Now people think, you know, Ganesha worshippers think Ganesha is the god. So everyone has a notion like that. But we have to see the scriptures, what they say. Ganesha worshippers say that Ganesha is the ultimate god. Shiva worshippers may say Shiva is the ultimate god. Time worshipper of Krishna, I may say Krishna is the ultimate god. Isn't it? You all can argue like that. So where is the end for this? The end is, we talk about God based on the scripture. Correct? Only from the Vedas and Puranas and Prithis I come to know. So let us go to the Shastras and see what the Shastras say. And in the Shastras it's clearly said, like in Bhagavad Gita we find, Ajito, Devalo, Vyasa, Svayamsevaru, Vishnu, all the great sages, Krishna, Krishna to be God, Krishna shows Vishwarupa Darshan, where Shiva is also present in that Vishwarupa, Brahma is present, Indra, Chandra, all are present in that Vishwarupa. And ultimately when the universe is destroyed, everything enters into Krishna's mouth. It doesn't enter into Ganesha's mouth. So we can try to get a global picture instead of holding on to one Purana. For example, if somebody takes only Skanda Purana, you may hear the glories of Skanda or Kartikeya. If you are reading Shiva Purana, you may know some glories of Shiva, what he is doing. It's like, you know, you go to your company, you just go to one department and you know about the department head. He's doing wonderful activities. It's very nice. But if you get a global picture, then all the department heads come for a meeting to whom? The managing director of the company, isn't it? But then, beyond the managing director, there's owner of the company. So Krishna is like the owner. Vishnu is like the managing director. And all the devatas, they are like different department heads. Like when you say Varuna, what does he do? He's water department. In fact, when you say Indra, he's presenting all the devatas. Like you say Vayu, he's the air department. Like that. So they all are doing some particular activity only. Like Surya can only cure your diseases, but he cannot remove the obstacles in your life. Whereas Ganesha can remove obstacles, but he cannot do the other activities what other devatas are doing. Like, you know, education minister can give you only one facility. He cannot give the water department minister's facility. Like that. So what I am saying is not our subtle imagination for our convenience, so that we can present Krishna as God. We can see, we can quote from the Shastra practically, verses saying that there are crores of devatas who are governing the universe. And every one of them have a particular role to play. And then beyond all these devatas, there is one supreme. Like Krishna says, Aham Adhiki Devana, all devatas come from me. And Bhishma is telling, Jagat Prabham Deva Devam Anantam Purushottama. Krishna, you are devata of the devata. You are actually the master of all the devatas. Like that he says. So we are accepting Krishna as God after hearing the statements of the scripture. They say like that. Of course, this is the first class where we are hearing that Krishna is God. When I heard Krishna is God, I had also a very severe argument, because I come from a Shaivite family. You know. I used to accept Shiva as God and I used to do meditation and all. So it was very difficult for me to accept somebody else as God. For several years we had worshipped Shiva. Then they told me, you keep coming and you read the books and you hear the classes and you, if it is not convincing, don't accept it. This is the first class they taught me. You know, few more classes, if you come for 5 classes, 10 classes and you also read Bhagavad Gita, it is. And you can go to anybody, go to any organization, take any Purana and see. You will take a global view. That's why I was asking. Are Christians having a separate God? Are Muslims having a separate God and we are having a separate God? If somebody is educated, they can easily understand that certainly the God is not different for different religions. He's the same person. The ultimate Father is only one. And they may have a different level of understanding about God. But the ultimate person is only one. There's only one Supreme Truth. And everyone else is subordinate. But the level may be different. Certainly devatas are not ordinary. They are all very, very exalted souls. And they all are like administrators of the universe, governing the universe. And they are doing it as a service to God. But there is a verse that says, Yam Brahma Varunenda Rudra Marutas Tunvanti Devyaistavai. It says, you know, Brahma, Rudra, Maruta, all of them are the four forms worshipping and glorifying the Supreme Personality of God, Vishnu. That's it. So they all. So later on when we go ahead, many pastimes will come. Then we will see facts describing the supremacy of one God. That is why Krishna's character, Krishna's movements, they are very difficult to understand. As you go on, you will understand the depth of it. Then it will be convincing to us why we call him as God. So I will conclude here. It's 9:40. Will you find a statement, Kendra? Japa, we can do some half of it, we can do. 5 minutes, Japa, we can do.